Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. And when Jesus was come to the house of the ruler, and saw the flute players grounding a tumult, he said, withdraw. For the damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And then they derided him. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her hand, and the damsel rose up. And the fame of it went out into all that land. And as Jesus passed on thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus says to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They say to him, yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. The gospel according to Mark. And chapter 5. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, that is with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed on him, and a certain woman who had had an efflux of about 12 years, and had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent everything she had, and found no advantage from it, but had rather got worse, having heard concerning Jesus, came to the crowd behind and touched his clothes, for he said, if I should touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. And immediately her fountain of blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she was cured from the scourge. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself the power that had gone out of him, turning round, the crowd said, who has touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the crowd pressing on thee, and sayest thou who touched him? And he looked round about to see her who was doubtless. But the woman, frightened and trembling, knowing what had taken place in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace, and be well of thy scourge. Chapter 10, the same gospel. Verse 46, when they come to Jericho. And as Jesus was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, the blind man, sat by the wayside begging. And having heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, began to cry out and to say, O son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him that he might be silent. But he cried so much the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing still, desired him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering says to him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, go, thy faith has healed. And he saw immediately and followed Jesus in the way. One last picture. Luke 17, verse 11 of that chapter. And it came to pass, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And seeing them, he said to them, go show yourselves. It came to pass, as they were going, they were cured. One of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Well, not the 10 repentant, but the 9 fell away. They have not been found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said to him, "Rise up and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee well." I suppose most of us are familiar with the story of the first Passover to Egypt. How that the children of Israel, before they were released from Egypt and its hard bondage after 400 years, and after those 9 plagues there had been, and Pharaoh hardened his heart every time and would not let the people go, God decreed there should be one last visitation, this time a destroying angel passed through the land. And every house where the blood was not on the lintel and the 2 side posts, death would descend upon the firstborn, be it a boy or a girl. And that applied to servants as well, the prisoners in the jail, yes. Everyone in whose house there was no sign of blood on the lintel and the 2 side posts, they were to the firstborn would die. So how important that it was, as forming part of a house of God's people in Israel, to make sure you have a shepherd of blood. It's important tonight as it was in that day. When I look at Exodus 12, I find that when Moses gives the command, or rather Jehovah speaks to Moses, he says, "And they shall take the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." That's the voice of God to Moses, which he imparted to the people. But when Moses, in his turn, imparts this message, this all-important message to the people, he adds a little word. He says in the same chapter, "And take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and smear the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that's in the basin, and none of you shall go out to the door of the house until the morning." What's that mean? Take a bunch of hyssop. A bunch of hyssop. If for a moment I turn your attention to that king who had remarkable wisdom, his name was Solomon. And earlier in the first book of Kings, we read about the scope of his knowledge. We read that his songs were 1,005, his proverbs were 3,000, and the scope of his wisdom was this. He spoke from the cedars on Lebanon to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Not that word. It springs out of the wall. My job survey. I've been on top of many a tall building. 2 years pass, and you'll be surprised you go on the roof of that roof of an old building. What do you find? Grass growing out of a crevice. Who sowed it up there? No one sowed it there. It was taken up there by the wind. Just lodged in the crevice in the soil. The rain, the sun, and the grass is growing on the rooftop. There are no trellis, and no hand of man ever sowed it. That was like Egypt. And here and there in the stone buildings, there had been just growing out of the wall a little bunch of hyssop. No one put it there unless we allow that God put it there. Yeah. And so that simple bunch of hyssop, so near to be so useful on that unforgettable night. Imagine me, the firstborn. And I knew what Moses said. I said, "Yeah, Father, what did he say?" And he said that the lamb was to be killed even when I was without innovation. Well, Father, come on, let's get it done, because at midnight the angel's coming through, and I'm the firstborn, Father, it concerns me. All of the morning, everything outside the door. There is a blood. That's wonderful. You couldn't do anything without the blood. The precious blood of Christ to typify. We couldn't preach a gospel if he hadn't suffered, if he hadn't died. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is a blood in the place of the perfect answer God given. There's a middle, there's a two-side post. Now what happens? What do you want to say next? Oh, Father, we should take a bunch of this. Ah, this. Like we find, here it is, Lord. It springs to you out of the wall. What's it tell you about?
It tells me about that touch of faith in your soul.
That touch of faith in the temple of the blood of Jesus, of it any value in the bunch of Peter? No, it's only just a bunch of Peter. It springs out of the wall here. What word comes to us in Paul's writings, Romans? The word is nigh thee, yea, in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach is not far away, it's right near to you. It's in your heart, in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That's the bunch of discipline. So far as it is, discipline of love, that is, saved. Not saved yet, but it's fullness. You can't say you're saved in totality to your standing on the other side of the Red Sea, and all of your enemies dead on the seashore. But as the old preacher used to tell us when I was a boy, when you're under that back, you're saved. Jesus, our deliverer from the wrath to come. Oh, never make light of that. It's a wonderful thing to know. Jesus, as your deliverer from the wrath to come. I trust you. Everyone you know that's alive. We'd like to be saved as well, being to stand with us on the Red Sea, on the other banks, on the further banks, and to sing the song of triumph. The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he cast in the depths of the sea. And then you're saved. I know the wilderness journey we've gone through, but you've made some headway. You're under the shelter of blood. Thank God for that. All tonight, I can't do it for you. You can understand now the wisdom that Mark Solomon. He didn't pass over small things. From the cedars on Lebanon, right down to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. What did David say in his penitential psalm? Psalm 51. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That touch of faith is so essential. So I've chosen four scriptures where Jesus doesn't claim it was his power, but it was his power, of course it was. But he says to each person, it's your faith, I do. That's it. We start with Matthew 9. Matthew 9, Jesus comes into the house of the ruler sitting on, and he raises that next little girl by the hand, raises her up. He exercises power in the resurrection, raise her up again. And the fame of it went all through the land. And I say, you know, she really is. That man from Nazareth has raised a little girl from the dead. Two blind men were in the village and heard it. Can you see them together? Nothing to do, all ready to do it in. Do you hear the news? What's it? Jesus has just been into the house of Jairus, the ruler said he's raised his girl to life. Well, what could he do for you and me then? Of course, you search your Bible in the Old Testament. Tell me someone in the Old Testament who gave sight to the blind. You're searching for me. Elijah. he would ask that the great Syrian army might be they might be blinded. And God might restore their sight, yes, when it pleased him, yes. But no one says the man in John 9, since the world began, it's never been known that anyone gave sight to the blind. Only one person ever gave sight to the blind, Jesus. These two blind men, they could say, well, we've done it before, there, well, we got a good chance. No. He's raised the dead. What do you think? And Jesus came down their way. He passed by, not far from these blind men. And they must have known it was he who was coming. And as Jesus passed on, then two blind men followed him. They must have said, oh, Jesus, why? And they did their blindness, trying to follow him. And they cried out, have mercy on us, Son of David. What was the answer? Seemingly, no answer. No answer. What a testimony. What would you do? Give up? You wouldn't. If you were bent on it, you wouldn't. If you thought it was your only hope, you wouldn't give up. If he didn't answer, they followed, they asked, which house has he gone into? Did that one over there? Will you guide us to it? Somebody kindly gave them another hand, that is blind in there. And into the house where Jesus sat, these two blind men. Bent on the ceiling, as if, oh, I wish you were earnest. I do wish you were earnest. These men, they're all dependent upon it. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came there. And Jesus asked him a question. Do ye believe that I am able to do this? Any doubts in their answers? Yea, Lord. Goes on together. Yea, Lord. You can do it. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be done. Isn't that just wonderful? According to your faith. They had a bunch of testimony. That touch of faith which makes it so real. And with all the sense of need. I hardly ever get through preaching. I tell you my hearers, I go to one, eight, seven or eight. And I was in the preaching that night. And the old preacher, forgotten who he was for a moment. And he said unto him, all the fitness he requireth is the fee. No, we did that. What would it be? Sense of need? Absolutely. Is that all he asked for? It's all he asked for. All the fitness he requireth is the fee. Your need of him. All that was a lot. That would have cheered my soul with. I've told it hundreds of times. I tell it again tonight. All the fitness he requires to feel your being. Oh, it would be like Francis Ripley had a go. That you felt, I could not do without thee, O Saviour of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Thy righteousness, thy pardon, thy precious blood must be my only joy and comfort, my glory. Was my plea, according to your faith, be done here. That touch of faith was what they needed, and they had it, they got the blessing. The woman of Mark 5. Yes. This is Mark's account of very much the same parallel section. He doesn't deal with the two blind men. Mark doesn't deal with that. Matthew doesn't, yes. But it's the same kind of parallel section. Because Jairus has come down to the quay to receive the Savior. Where's he been to? He's been all the way across to Gadara. A whole day's journey. I've got in that boat. All the way to Gadara. What for? get one healed, to heal the demoniac. Was he one of the chosen race? No, he was a weak. He wear no clothes. He knew no peace. And he just lived at the tombs. He never asked for blessing. But softly the Savior went and blessed that poor, demented man. And he left him on the shore, not standing there, clothed and sensible, and longing to be with the Savior, who said, no, you go back home to Galilee. Go to your house and tell those people back home there in Galilee, that Greek city, what great things the Lord had done for thee, and how he had mercy on me. And that dear man began a foot journey over 500 miles. He went to every city, in the 10 cities, and told them what great things Jesus had done for him. The blessing that man brought, we shall know maybe in a future day, what an evangelist he became. With only 1 hour at the feet of Jesus. Touch with the Savior makes worth life living. It does. Some is a bit. So this woman, she'd been spending all. She came to absolute penury. She hadn't got a thing left. She spent all and was nothing better than one that she wanted to do this. And she heard concerning Jesus. Isn't that just lovely? She heard concerning Jesus. She went down to the quay. Jairus was there, crowd there, all waiting. Come back. And Jairus, being the ruler of course, he stepped forward first and said, Master, my daughter's dying. Will you come? Yes, wife. They go along the road slowly, cries all out. And the woman saying, in this soliloquy, if I never touch the hem of his garment, I should die. Faith. That was a bunch of hyssop, wasn't it? The word is nigh thee, yea, in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. She say, I might get better, she said, I will be better. But he went. Who touched me? Disciples. The crowd thronged me. How sayest thou? Who touched me? And she came forward frightened and trembling. Fell down her body and told him all the truth. Daughter, and he said, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. All you say is the power of Jesus. You're quite right. But he says it's your faith. The Savior highlights your faith. That's what it is. Your faith. And that's a bunch of his. It springs to you. It's in your heart, in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, let us say. Wonderful thing we say. Become a confessor of Jesus. If you become a confessor of Jesus, you'll know what salvation is. We'll be popular in the world. That doesn't matter. If you're a confessor of Jesus, you'll know what salvation is in children practically. So then we come on to the 10th chapter. Jesus going out of Jericho. This would be, I suppose, about 7 days before Calvary. The last time he ever passed through Jericho. He never went that way again. Bartimaeus is sitting by the wayside, begging. He'd heard the crowd pass by scores of times. You could tell his kid is here, he was a cheat. Who's passing this time? This is Jesus. And oh! He's the one who gives sight to the blind. So, the cry is raised by Bartimaeus. O son of David, when I read the word O in front of an exclamation, I know a man's heart and soul is behind it. Yeah. You remember those two men went up the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18. The Pharisee said, with his eyes wide open, having a thanksgiving service, heaving the subject of it, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, unjust extortioners, not even as this publican. He said, God. But the other man would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven, but be on his breast. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. How many more sinners were there on earth for that man? None. He was the only one. Oh God, all the body of the man is so good. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he who was sent as judge of all in the coming days said, I tell you, it was Jesus. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself will be abased, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So Bartholomew says, oh son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. He wasn't sitting in a comfortable room like this. The sons of Aaron were longing for his blessing to be long for yours. No, he cried. He wanted to be. He cried out the more he preached. And Jesus standing still, I often said about that. Wonderful thing for the sun to stand still in the midst of the heavens in according to Joshua 10, the voice of a man. And for the record to say there was no day before it or after it when God hearkened to the voice of a man and the sun stood still. Well, hold on. Far more wonderful when the person who was the center and son of God's moral universe stood still at the cry of a blind beggar. Far more wonderful. And he desired him to call. They say, if you courage, rise up, he calls thee, and casting away his garment. Now, he wasn't coming with any robe of self-righteousness, casting away his garment, just as he stood there, a blind man. He turned his face, his sightless eyes, toward that voice. And he heard that voice saying, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, my teacher, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, go, thy faith has healed thee. Oh, you say, but it was in the power of Jesus. Of course it was. Of course it was. But the Savior said that he's done it. Do you realize, friend, in one sense, it all depends on you now. God has done everything he can. What more could he do? God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not also with him give us all things? God has gone to the uttermost lengths to secure your eternal blessing and your present happiness. Yes, he couldn't do more. As all depends on you. Yours is the matter. All that helps faith. That's what Jesus said. Go, thy faith is healed thee. And he saw, about a week later, only then, he saw me. And went back to his bed. Oh, no, he didn't. He followed Jesus on the way. Well, for you, my friend and mine, to see that touch from him, and for you to see him and his glory, and then contentedly for the rest of your time to follow Jesus. I speak with some years of experience. It's over 60 years ago I knew the Savior. It worked out. 17. I love this chapter. Indeed, I love all of God. Luke 17. You know, of course, the Jews have no deal with Samaria, don't you? You know that. So that, of course, how one Samaria got in with nine Jews is a better question. There were 10 lepers. How do you get in? Well, I can only realm of, you know, supposition. You'll see in the language of Luke 17 that this was a village on the borders of Samaria and Galilee. On the borders. So I reckon that this leper was all by himself, a Samaritan leper, just over the border in Galilee, with another village with nine lepers, all Jews. It was lonely all by itself. Just waiting for death. Someone might say, why don't you go to the next village? Try and join them. Not over there. We can't even do with you. You're a leper. You can yourself, but not over there. Can you see?
Can't put on.
Who's that? Can I come in? Who are you? I'm a Samaritan. Can't come in. Well, I'm a leper. And so are you. Can you see the lion's eye? Well, he's right, you know. We're all outsiders, aren't we? What's the point? Should we live here? We join them. Turn on. Lion, Jew, one summer. Conversation? Well, just waiting, you know. There's nothing to do. No one having to do. There wasn't. What do you think? I understand that Jesus is coming this way. Do you think that any hope for us? Well, it's the only hope we've got then. Can we come near him? No, we can't. But that was, you see, can I stand? Call out. Can't come near. Well, supposing he comes this way, can we go out? What should we say? Well, let's all say together, Jesus, that's his personal name, isn't it? Jesus. Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. Does everyone agree? What happens? Now, here he comes. Now, I think, now, together. Jesus, Master, have compassion. Come again. Can he stop? He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest. Well, I've been sure that of you. No? Well, what should we do then? Didn't he touch your leper somewhere else? Yeah. One says, do you think we'd better do what he says? Oh, what a fine word that is. I know it's not the scripture, but some of us said, shall we do what he says? You know, the very root of blessing in the gospel is obedience. No one's ever been blessed and said, be obedient. Never! Oh, you can point, yes. But at last, then when he died, he plunged himself, and he's cured, healed. All right, then, shall we turn? Yes, all right. They'd hardly turned to take the first step towards the priests. They said, look, I'm healed, look. And the voices raised joyfully, look up. All dead and all well. They had wonder. Just astonished. You take one step off the right road, my friend, and the word of Jesus, you are a blessing. You will. Immediately. Well, the nine were so excited, of course they hurried home to get their belongings and all up to Jerusalem, see the priest. Doesn't one man leg behind? Why? He had no priest. Got to rub now. Samaritan. Outsider. No priest. They were hurrying on. He was healed. I wonder if he's still there. He turned back, and there was the Savior, still waiting. Still waiting. What comes up to him, falls down, giving thanks. The Savior says, "Were not the 10 pence worth the 9? There have not been found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And then Jesus said to him, "Rise up, go thy way, thy faith has made it." No long journey up to Jerusalem. He had no precepts of it. He found in the Savior everything. Jesus, my Savior, shepherd, friend, my prophet, priest, and king. My Lord, my life, my way, my end. Accept the praise that I bring. May God bless you.